Word of God, sometimes I ask the Lord, where do I fit? You know, because sometimes we feel like there's not much to do, especially when you get older. And that's where I'm at. Sometimes you wonder what your place is. Can't hold up to preach like he used to and all this stuff. But God's still got a place for each one of us.
Amen.
I'm glad to be part of the kingdom of God. How about you?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to read some with me. Just a short amount. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 6. I feel like this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. I'm not going to read much. I'll have to kind of fill you in a little bit maybe. It won't hurt you to stand. I'm going to share a little something with you. Talking about quiet around your place and all this stuff. Our house is so quiet, and we enjoy, the wife and I do, we enjoy each other. We'll sometime be traveling home or something, and I hadn't been in my chair for quite some time, and I'll cup my hand back of my ear, and I'll say, "Did you hear that?" She said, "Yeah, I know, your chair's calling you." So... that's the way it gets when you go to getting old, folks. You ain't got... So may not have a lot of things to look forward to, but you can find that chair and take a nap. I take as high as three a day. You know, three times a day, and that ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? Amen. All right, Nehemiah 2 and 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. The king asked him, "When wilt thou return?" "When wilt thou return?" And he said, "I set him a time." If the Lord will help me, and I believe he will, I want to preach to you on just one word, when. W-H-E-N. When. You may be seated if you'd like. I often think about my past working for God, my pastoring, my revivals, different things. Some of them I'm well pleased with, and some of them I'm not well pleased with. And I think everybody's got that. Times when it looked like, you know, things weren't going too good. But I feel like that I've had a good ministry. The only thing I regret about my ministry is that I didn't witness as much as I should have. I didn't work to win the lost like I feel like I should have, I could have. And I think that's where our ministries are at today. I'm talking about members, not only ministers, but I'm talking about members of the church. I feel like that we are not giving it as much time as we could. We should be doing more for witnessing and winning, trying our very best to win the lost. There's no more worthy ministry than winning the lost. Nothing any greater than winning the lost. Here Nehemiah had a burden. Jerusalem had been torn down. Every rock had been moved out of place. He was the king's cupbearer, and some of his brethren had come down to the where he was at there, and they told him that things didn't look good for Jerusalem. And the city was all broken down, and other smaller countries around there, nations around there, had been polluting the place and coming in on them when they would get something going and in store. And it was just not good for them at all. And so Nehemiah immediately had a burden for Jerusalem. Immediately had a burden for Jerusalem. And so when he went before the king to bear his cup the next time, It wasn't hard for the king to see that something was different about Nehemiah. He had a burden, and he didn't look good. And the king said, "Why is your countenance fallen?" "It's not because of sickness." So Nehemiah was scared. You know, in those days, if you went before the king as his cupbearer, and you weren't jolly, you weren't spry, if you weren't up and at him, the king sometimes would have you slain. You lost your life. And I'm wondering sometimes if when we go before God, I wonder how He looks at us sometimes. No burden. No burden. We have no burden. And sometimes that bothers me. I don't seem to have the burden that I need for lost souls. I felt a few years back that I was going to die. I just felt like I didn't have much time left, and some things was wrong, and I felt like I was going to die. And so that bothered me in one sense, and in another sense it didn't bother me. And so I went before the Lord and I told God, I said, "If you'll let me live, if you will let me live, I will be an intercessor for the lost. Not just for my family. My family is included in it. I don't want to brag. I don't want you to think I'm bragging. But every one of us should have a burden for the lost. We should have a burden for our family. We should have a burden for that ill repute person out there on the street. We should have a burden for them." And I told God, "If you'll let me live, I will pray for this nation. I will pray for the lost, the wicked, the vile, the filthy, the perverted, the ungodly. I will pray for all of these people. If you'll just let me live." I never heard from God, but I lived. And I'm trying my very best to fulfill my end of the bargain. Praying for my family. Keeping my family. Got a son, grandson, and a granddaughter of the same family. His son and his daughter. And I keep them before God continuously. I'm afraid that sometimes they're just taking it for granted that daddy's going to pray and they're going to keep living. And I wondered about that the other day, but I'm telling you, I believe that we should have a burden for our lost. We should have a burden for the city where we're nearest. We should have a burden actually for this entire world. And so I want to preach to you for a little while on when. When are we going to have a burden? When are we going to start working for God? When are we going to get out there and witness to the lost? And the king asked Nehemiah, "When will you return?" And he told him when. He set him a time. When are we going to the harvest field? John 4:31. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." The disciples didn't see the need of it. But Christ came for this cause, he said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. We need to see the lost. We need to see them dying and going to an endless hell. We need to see that they need somebody to bring the message to them. We need to see that. Jesus replied to them, "My meat," Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus used two different words for meat here. One of them was He sent me to finish His work of the soul's food, either which refreshes the soul or nourishes or supports the soul. He used that word that it would fresh the soul, refresh the soul. It would nourish the soul. That person that witnesses for God, it refreshes his soul when he witnesses. It refreshes his soul when he presents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost soul. It brings strength to him. Then Jesus used the meat of one that when you eat food to sustain the body. But he was talking mostly, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. But you know what Jesus was saying to his disciples? Really, in reality, when are you going to start witnessing? When are you going to have a burden for the lost? And I want to ask you today, when are you going to get a burden for the lost, for the wicked, the vile, the filthy, the ungodly? When are we going to really have a burden for the lost? We think we go to church. We live the life before them, but many times they don't even know we're a Christian. The person that we deal with, the person that we're around, the person, our family. Son called me the other day. We were talking, I can't remember how far back, just a few days ago I think it was. He called me and I was talking to him and he brought up something and I just opened the door. And I told him, I said, I'm praying for you that God will save you. That you'll see your need for salvation. And I said, I don't want to take advantage of you. He said, I don't mind, Daddy, you taking advantage of me. In other words, what he was saying is, I really need you to witness to me. I really need to know that you care and that you're praying for me. That's what he said. It was an opportunity. This meat, this harvest that I'm talking about, it brings such satisfaction. Once you see that soul, I mean, their drugs, alcohol, perversion. Come on. You think this ministry that Sister Angel is involved in here, you think that's just a work, that's just a job? No, it's a ministry. It's a chance and an opportunity to witness to somebody that's got off on the wrong track, that feels like her life is no good anymore. And here's a place to where we can tell them that God cares, that Christ died for them. Christ died for the ungodly. It's an opportunity. That's exactly what we need to be doing. But for the most part, we live for ourselves. Come on here. Amen. We live for ourselves. We're not supposed to live for ourselves. We're not our own. We're what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. All you got to do is just, I know you don't want to be told no. I know you don't want nobody to tell you, leave me alone. I don't care about that stuff. It ain't good. It ain't right. No. I'm telling you, we got the message of life. You hear me? We got the message of strength and of hope. Why don't they want to hear it? I want it to because the devil has hardened them against it. But I can tell you one word spoken, love and compassion, could melt that heart, put it under conviction, and God could save it in a moment's time.
Right, yes.
Amen?
Right.
I believe this is what God wants me to preach to you today. Daniel 12 and 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and forever. They that turn men into righteousness going to shine as the star, Brother John, forever and forever. I've often thought about what am I going to do when I stand before God and I stand there. I'll maybe get a reward for pastoring. But have you ever thought, have you ever just thought sometime, how many souls have I won to God? How many souls? No, I can't preach on college campuses. It's not my ministry. Can't do it. I'm just not called for that. But I can witness when I see one person standing by themselves alone and look like it's a hangover or they're down and don't have no money. They just can't, you know, they can't function like they need to. It's the time to tell them that you know somebody that can help them function right. Amen? But you know what? We, for the most part, are satisfied with going to church and get our souls blessed, sing our songs, come on, and have the hope of heaven. But we're saying to the rest of the world, you don't need to go to heaven. You don't desire heaven. You don't want heaven, and you don't deserve heaven. That's what we're saying when we won't witness. Now, I know some of you might not agree with all the things that I say. Pray for me, okay? Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. But when are we going to start working in the harvest field? When are we going to go out there and win the souls that are in the harvest field? That's a good question for us, isn't it? Amen? Nehemiah set his king a time. Our king wants to know when we're going to get started. He wants to know when are we going to get started. And you're sitting there just like I am at times. I know I should, but I'm not. And for the most part, around the house, we get retired or close to retiring. You feel like you've done enough of work out there. You've been busy enough. And I feel like I've preached enough to churches and to the lost in revivals, different things. I feel like I've done my part. Well, I haven't done my part because there's souls still dying and going to hell. Amen. And they're out there and they need help. And I'm still living. I'm still breathing. I'm still walking. I'm still talking. I still have the Spirit of God in me. So therefore, I'm available to be a witness for God. Amen? But for the most part, we don't want to do that, do we? No. Amen. Romans 13 and 11. And that knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. When are we going to set a time? Get out there and do it. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering. Come on. Not in chambering. Sometimes we shut ourselves in. We do our little thing. We're not worried about them people out there. We're only worried about having a good time. We're only worried about getting together and eating. We're only worried about doing what makes us feel good, what helps us to relax. Come on here. We're not stirred. We're not roused up. We don't think about others. We only think about ourselves. I'm telling you, when are we going to wake up and realize souls are dying and going to hell by the multitudes and we're doing nothing about it?
That's right. Come on. That's right.
We're living for ourselves.
Yes.
That's what we're doing, living for ourselves. Start to say something, that spirit checked me. I won't do that. Soft Christianity. One person said soft Christianity is a laughing stock of hell. Soft Christianity is a laughing stock of hell. Soft Christianity is a laughing stock of hell. Redeem your time. Buy up every opportunity to live your life right. How much better could you call living right than winning the lost?
Come on.
How much better? That's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Her sister Angel's down there. She has an opportunity to witness. I know you can't. You got to be careful maybe how you do it. I don't know exactly every time. Sometimes they put restrictions on those things. But I tell you, you can always count. You can always catch a time when you can just slip it right in there. Tell them Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I have had the Spirit speak to me and a witness to stop. Remember, witness to an elderly man. And I walked up there to him and I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "You need to be." He said, "Yes, sir, you're right, I need to be." I said, "God loves you, wants to save you." He said, you're right, He does, I need to be saved. But you know, most of the time they can find a reason why they can't be saved right then. But at least you've witnessed to him. At least you've got his mind thinking in the right direction. At least you have stirred him to the point to where he says, "I need God. I need to be saved." Come on. We should continuously. And I'm telling you now, in your prayer time, if you don't have a burden for the lost, then you're not really praying. Come on here. I'm keeping my promise to God. I promised him that I would pray for the lost. And that's one of the things, brother, that I do on a regular basis. Every time I get down, I pray for the lost and the wicked and the vile and the filthy and the I pray for our president. Come on. I pray for Congress. I pray for the Senate. I pray for world rulers all over the place. I don't want them to stand and point their finger at me, Brother Ross, on that day and say, "Hey, you could have, but you didn't." We're living to ourselves. That's what we're doing, living to ourselves. You say, "Well, I I'm young." Some of you here are young. Some of you are pushing old age. Some of you are middle-aged. And you say, "I'm young." That's right. Some of you are. And you say, "Well, you know, I have 70 years, you know, to get it all done." No, you don't. No, you don't. Did you know you live 5 years of age? You don't know nothing much about life, and you don't know nothing much from there back to birth, 5 years old. So actually, you just really maybe start living a little bit, 5 years of age. Amen. And you sleep about 25 years of your time. Did you know that? You sleep about 25 years of your time. And so you only have 40 years now left. That's all you have left. 40 years. Come on.
Right, go ahead.
And I know, let me recover here. 40 years. Some years are spent in rest, recreation. Some years may be wasted in just lazy living. Just casual living. Not doing anything. How much is left? Not much. How much total time will you have for your life anyway? Keats died at 26. You may not know some of these people. Shelley, 30. Alexander the Great died at 33. Mozart died at 35. These are people that accomplished great things, but they didn't live very long to finish them up. Okay? On the other hand, it's never too late to start really living. Michelangelo began building St. Peter's Cathedral at 76. At 76. He didn't think his life was wasted. He didn't think he was too old. Come on. Verdi was nearly 70 when he accomplished his TDM, or whatever you call that in a way. Grandma Moses started painting when she was 78 years old. 78 years old. I'm not even that old. It didn't stop her. You say, well, I'm going to. I mean to. I want to. If God could break in on us right now and say, He'd say, when?
That's right, Mom. Go ahead.
When are you going to do it?
Go ahead.
That's the thing He would say to us.
Yeah.
Tennyson was writing his greatest lines at 83. But I tell you, I'm going to say something again. You're living for yourself. We're living for ourselves. Amen? God wants to know when. I'm going to give you some scripture here that shows you how brief our life is. Job 9, 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. Verse 26. They are passed away as if a swift ship, as the eagles that hasteneth to his prey. Verse Peter 1 and 24, for all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. Raises up in a few days, it's gone. I mean, in a few days you see it wilting. It's lived its life. And many of them's out in a field somewhere or another where they're never seen, Brother John. They are never seen, those flowers. Many of them are wildflowers and never saw by man's eye. So many times what we're doing, we're saying, hey, I've got time. I've got time and I will get around to it. One of these days I'm going to do it. I've got my doubts about it. I'm guilty of it myself. Amen. We should be witnessing. Amen. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly means diligently, exactly, accurately. Diligently, exactly, accurately. Know what you want to do. Know what you need to do. It's time the church wakes up. It's no wonder that God don't bless us like we think He ought to. It's no wonder that the Spirit of God doesn't fall on us. Because, and I'm going to say it, and you'll get angry with me if you want to, because we're the children of rebellion. We're the children that's not listening to what God tells us to do. And so we're constantly saying, I will, and we don't. I will, and we don't. There's not but one thing to do when you say, I will, and you don't, you need to repent. Come on. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it, and with thy might. For there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I want to just stop right here. I had been praying before the Lord gave me this message. I'd been praying and seeking God. And I was laying in the bed praying. Sometimes I wake up during the morning and I'll pray. Just lay there and pray. I know that's not the best place in the world to pray, but I'll pray anyway. I'll think upon certain things. And I was saying, God, I know I need to. I know, God, I need to do this. I know, God, I need to do that. God broke in on me and said, when?
Come on.
That's where I got this message from. Laying in the bed. And I got up and went in my study. Began to write some things down as I came to. Then I began to study here and there. Stuff I got to study with, and I just began to build. And I preached it several times. Every time I preached it, I felt like it was the message of the hour. That God wants to know when. When are we going to do something? Hello? When? Jesus told him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know what he said? He's going home with Zacchaeus. And the scribes, the Pharisees, they made fun of it. He said, this is why the Son of Man came. To seek and to save that which was lost. That was his answer to those. To seek and to save. Why are we here? Why are we saved? Why does God give us a burden? Come on. Well, when things get right, I'm going to. When things get right. No, God called me to preach. And I'm telling you, I didn't wait for things to get right. I didn't wait for my money to come in. I didn't wait till I got everything going good. No, sir. I told God, I'll preach your gospel. And I did. Quit a good job. I'm not boasting in me, but it was time. God said, it's time to do what I want you to do. I quit a good job making good money, and I said, I'll do it. The next thing I knew, God had opened the door for me. I was pastoring a church. Amen. It wasn't from that one to another one, Brother John. God just opened doors for me. I'm going to tell you something. God will open doors for you once He sees. Hey, there's no use of Him opening doors for us if we're not going to walk through them. Amen? So, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? 1 Corinthians 7 and 30. And they that weep as though they weep not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. What are we talking about here? Paul said this is the way it ought to be. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away.
Yeah.
Passeth away.
Right.
Fashion of the world is passing away. Guess what else is passing away with it? Multitudes.
Right.
In the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
Right.
The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. While they're trying to make them, or you're trying to get them to make a decision, eternity is just slipping away. And we're losing time. Amen? Let me go on. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? How long wilt thou sleep? When? Wilt thou arise? You know what? Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Jonah got him a ticket and went the other way on another ship.
Yes,
he says, I ain't going down there. And did you know? You read it for yourself. He went up there and the storm come, and the Bible said he was down in the sides of the ship, and that ship just a rolling and a tossing. Come on. And he was there, and did you know? He went fast asleep. And the captain and some of the mariners come up there and said, "Hey, awake, old sleeper."
Right.
And you know what I said? I said, "How in the world could the man sleep in a storm like that?" I know we're full. And I know it's hard to stay awake. I have been there. Where you're at right now, at this church, I have been there. Get my stomach full, slide down in that seat, and fight to keep my eyes open. That's one of the problems with us. We're not taking life as serious as it ought to be taken. Hey, I've been there, so you know where I'm coming from now. I've been there, but I'm telling you, it's not an excuse. It is not an excuse. You know what God is saying? When are we going to wake up? And when are we going to realize that we have a job to do?
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry. Trying to hurry. Amen. How long will you sleep? He slept till they throwed him overboard. He woke up then, didn't he? Wound it up in the belly of a whale. Elijah came out unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word, didn't answer him a word. I believe that God is asking us, when? When are you going to work for me? When are you going to have a burden for the lost? Multitudes are dying and going to hell, and we don't have a burden.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
Hello?
Yes.
Decision. It's decision time, really. You know, if not, I tell you what's going to happen. If we don't make our decision now to get out there and go to work, the next thing is coming after you don't make a decision. The next thing is a deliberation of God. Amen. The judge. Come on. The Supreme Court. He has considered the circumstances of the case and come to a decision. God has come to a decision about you and I.
Right.
I know I'm not going to be popular out of this. Probably wasn't anyway. I'm not going to be smart. I'm not going to be smart. God forbid that I be smart. But most of the time, if we can, we find a message that'll make us popular.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Instead of preaching what God has laid upon our heart. Forgive me if you think I'm cruel. I am not a cruel person. My wife has lived with me for 58 years. She'll tell you I am not a cruel person. We have never been separated in those 58 years. I'm not going to tell you we haven't argued. I'd have to tell you a lie. We have argued. We have had some differences. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
But we raised 4 kids, and they're doing fairly good. 3 of them are in church, doing the work for the Lord. And I think that's fair. But I'm just like you. I need to make up my mind. We need to have a decision time. Come on. A decision time. When will you return? Nehemiah, the king asked him, with the queen sitting by his side for a witness and a reference. When will you return? And I set him a time when I would return. You know what? When are we going to get out there and go to work for God? We're enjoying our Christianity. We're enjoying our social life. Come on here. But I can tell you, while we're enjoying, souls are dying and going to hell by the multitudes. Amen? We need to make up our mind. No man can serve two masters. He's going to serve one and hate the other. But if the devil gets you and I at ease in the church or at ease in our homes, then he's almost become our master. He's almost become our master. He's controlling us to a point. Amen? That's right. Don't wait till God's wrath is upon the nation. God's wrath is upon you. Don't wait till, you know, when God speaks to us, we should say, "Yes, Lord, yes." There's a song that I love, and sometimes in prayer, I'll quote this or say the words in prayer. And I say, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes." My answer would be yes. Do you know that? How many knows that song? Hold your hand up like this. All right. I want us to go again. I want you to say it with me. Okay? I say, "Yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. And when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes." My answer will be yes. When will we fast and pray and seek God? When? "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Joel 2 and 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping, with mourning." I am going to start. This is us. I can size all of us up right here pretty well. I am going to start praying more. And almost God would break in on us and say, "When?"
That's right. Go ahead.
"I'm going to start reading and studying my Bible more." And I can hear God say, "When? When?" "I'm going to start fast and seek the Lord more." And God would say, "When?"
Right.
"I'm going to witness more." And God would say, "When?"
Yeah.
"When are you going to do it?"
Right.
"I'm going to start doing more for the church." And God would say, "When?"
Yeah.
And do you know what we do a lot of times? We pick some things that's happened. We pick some things that's come up. And we use them for an excuse. God's asking when in more ways than one. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Can you quote it with me? What does it say? "When my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Now, you know what God is saying? When you do then I will. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land, is what he was saying. I'm telling you, folks, it isn't God is saying, when? When are you going to do it? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to live for me? When are you going to get closer to me? When are you going to start witnessing? When are you going to start doing something for God? Folks, we're running out of time. Time is running away with us. I mean, we're there. Sometimes I feel like the end is so close, Brother John. I don't even want to get started doing nothing around the house. I feel like, hey, time's running out. If I'm going to do anything, I need to be out there trying to win the lost at any cost. Would you stand with me, please? I'll give you what I felt like, and I felt God's presence. I feel like this is exactly what the Lord laid upon my heart. When? God is asking us when. You're not getting any younger. Your memory's not as good as it used to be. Right. I used to could quote you so much scripture. And you know what? A lot of them just vanished away and got away from me. Because of age. The mind's not operating like it used to. Brother Colin. But still, I know enough about the Word of God till I could witness. I could witness. We do. I know you want a nap. Will you promise me right where you're at? Will you promise me that you will pray about this message? Not just once, but several times. Would you ask God not let you forget the message? You can forget the man that preached it. I don't care about that. But I want you to remember the message. Souls are dying. There was a song years ago the Church of God had in their songbook. Souls are dying. Men are crying. I can't remember how it went. Men are crying. So, yes, win the lost at any cost. And that song always touched me. Every time I hear him sing that song, it always touched me. I'm glad. I'm 75 years old, and I'm glad I have not lost the burden for the lost. I'm glad I still have one. I want you to pray with me right where you stand. Would you do that? Promise God you won't forget this message. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, oh God, conviction, God, upon this congregation. Help them, Lord, to remember. Help them, God, to seek your face, Lord, for a burden for the lost. Oh, living God, faithful God, holy God, stir us, woo us, draw us, prick us, convict us, Lord. Help us, God, to have a burden for the lost. In the holy name of Jesus. One more thing I want to give you. The story was told, I don't remember where I got it. Read it somewhere or another. Story was told about the man and had two sons. And it was harvest time. And their machine broke down. And they could not harvest the crop. And they had ordered a part, and it was going to be like 2 weeks or so before they could get that part to come in to put on the combine where they could harvest the seed. And the father was frantic. He was just beside himself. And he grabbed a 5-gallon bucket and run out into the field, pulling it off, putting it in the 5-gallon bucket. And the boy said, Daddy, you cannot harvest this crop You're going to have that machine. You can't harvest this crop without the machine. He said, I can save some of it. We can save some of it. God help us. I said, we can save some of it.
Amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. We can save some of it.
Amen.
Say that with me. We can save some of it. Yes. You don't win but one between now and eternity. That's one that won't die and go to hell.
Amen, brother.
Brother Collins.